KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's Tuesday, October 12th. This is The Rundown, Philadelphia's local news podcast. I'm Jay Scott Smith, and joining me today are our producers, Sabrina Boyd-Circa and Brian Seltzer. Plus, we've got a special guest here today, digital managing editor Christina Koppeser. So today here on The Rundown, the Wilma Theater and the Philadelphia Orchestra were the first venues on the Avenue of Arts to reopen their doors to live audiences. KYW News Radio's John McDevitt was there for the openings, and later on in the podcast, we'll hear what his experience was like. Sabrina, I know that you're not just a theater lover, you're also a performer. What jumped out to you about this story?
Yeah, I think it was really interesting how different theaters are doing different things. You know, there are city ordinances and state ordinances and whatnot, but everyone kind of has their own way of making things work. And also, people were just so excited to come back. He talked about the people who went to the orchestra and were decked out. They had fancy gowns and matching masks. And that in itself kind of makes me more excited to go see a show. I'm like, I want to dress up and find a matching sparkly mask and go see live music.
Yeah, I don't sparkle, but I agree. It's really, really nice to be actually back in a seat in a theater. It felt good.
And we'll talk more about that coming up a little bit later on here in the show, but it's time for a rundown of the day's headlines. And Brian, we'll start with you first. What is something that you're keeping an eye on?
Yeah, guys, Jay, Sabrina, Luca, we do call Christina Luca affectionately around the office. Current Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro looks very likely that he is going to be the main guy on the Democratic side of the ticket for governor in 2022 in the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And this is something that's been talked about and speculated about for a while, but the news reportedly is going to be official as of Wednesday. I think what stands out to me, guys, is that, yes, it seems like at least on the Democratic side of this race, it is a pretty clear path for Josh Shapiro. He's built up a lot of momentum. He has a strong following in the Philadelphia suburbs, particularly in Montgomery County, where he still lives and where he got his start working as a chief of staff for a former representative going back almost two decades. Whereas on the Republican side, right now, there's nearly a dozen potential candidates in the gubernatorial race.
Now, the 48-year-old attorney general, he has a big national profile. He has been one of the people who was up at the front and foremost, basically going at the former president about his crusade to try to pretty much reverse the results in places such as Pennsylvania. And also when Texas's attorney general tried to sue Pennsylvania, Shapiro was one of the main ones out in the open. He's from Montgomery County, so a lot of people in the Philadelphia area know him, even though he's actually making this announcement in Pittsburgh tomorrow. But right now, we're in the midst of an off-year election, one that not a lot of people are paying attention to. And Philadelphia city officials are trying to get out the word that you still need to get out and vote in these things. And for that now, Sabrina, I know you've got more on a rally that was held here in the city to try to get people to get out and vote in this quote-unquote off-year election.
Yeah, Philadelphia city officials held a rally on Monday trying to just get some of that energy that we had in the 2020 election back, which is going to be tough for a local off-year election. But they made the point that it is really important. We're voting on judges, which are the people who uphold the law. And the courts were really important in defending the 2020 election and ruling that that election was free and fair. Ward leader Alan Butkovitz talked about this a little bit.
Since January 6th, we really don't have off-year elections. We are fighting people who are determined to make sure that we have an authoritarian system of government, not a democracy.
So he really emphasized just how important every election is, how important it is to keep the democratic system going.
Yeah, it's a small, quote unquote, off-year minor election, but still, these are all important. And plus, if you vote, you stay on the rolls, because that's another thing. There are entities that will take you off the rolls if you don't vote once or twice. And you got to re-register. Make sure that it's very, very important to take care of this sort of thing.
I was going to say it's not too late to register. The deadline is the 18th, so we're 6 days away. So if you are not registered,
yes,
there's still time. So make sure you register before the 18th.
I think one thing too, guys, whether we're talking about the governor's race in Pennsylvania or some of these smaller races, something I've heard talked about lately is that given the times, given the issues, and also given technology, every race becomes a national race. There really is no such thing as a localized race anymore, because depending on where the power lies in certain parts of the country or districts, the smallest of races can become this big national high-profile thing.
Those seats are very important. The idea of getting out and voting is vital. It's necessary. Another set of seats that may not be quite as important, there's some people, they're very important, are the seats at Sixers games and Flyers games at the Wells Fargo Center. Yes, I know there's lacrosse there too, but those two are the main things. And the Wells Fargo Center is seeking to eliminate what they are calling knucklehead behavior of certain fans. Brian, I know you've got more on what the Wells Fargo Center is trying to crack down on.
Something that stood out to me, I watched the 45-second video that apparently is going to play before Sixers and Flyers games and other events down at the arena. And one of the people featuring the video, Sixers player Matisse Thybulle, says, no tolerance, zero tolerance for racial and identity-based slurs. I think obviously it's great that this is being said outwardly, but I'm also troubled by the fact that here we are on October 12, 2021, and this is language that has to be overtly included in a code of conduct for a major arena.
It's kind of like where when you see a sign in certain places where they say all employees must wash hands or all employees must do this, and you think,
right, yes.
You have to tell them to do this. This is not one of those things. But unfortunately, when we think to the point of the NHL, there have been incidents, and including one rather infamous one involving a former Flyer, Wayne Simmonds, of racism and racist actions being taken. So you almost have to make this sort of thing a deal, whether it's that or even just going down to the guy who threw popcorn on Russell Westbrook during the playoff game last year, or the guy who flipped the double bird to Russell Westbrook on opening night a few years ago. You don't need that. And especially in 2021, you certainly can't have that sort of thing. Now, one other thing that we've got here, Our Stories is a program that's facilitating some pretty brave conversations about race.
Yeah, so maybe this will help with eliminating racist slurs and all of that. Our Stories is this program that's coming to South Jersey. They're looking for people who want to participate. And basically, they're facilitating what they say, they would call it brave conversations about race. They're getting cohorts of five white people, five people of color together. They're going to meet on Zoom and just have conversations, frank conversations about their own experiences with race and racism. They'll ask questions like, when you were growing up, did you have any friends or family of a different race? What did you learn from your parents? What creates prejudice? How can we overcome it? And obviously those answers are going to be very different from the white people versus people of color. So I think the idea is just getting people in the same room, really hearing what everyone's experiences have been, and it might not be what you expect, and that can really open your eyes.
Race is something that makes people uncomfortable. I live by the motto of, you might as well get comfortable being uncomfortable. You can't run from these things. You don't want to live in absolutes and you don't want to say certain things, but there's so many things that you're surprised are blind spots when it comes to race in this country. You know, it comes to dealing with people of different ethnicities. And even we have them and don't realize them sometimes.
What stands out to me about this story is where it's taking place in South Jersey, Burlington County. We go back to July. I'm not going to give the guy the time of mentioning his name, but I think a lot of people would remember the viral video that broke out from Burlington County in July. And to me, that was a connection that I wonder if it's by accident or not of where this discussion is taking place.
Those are just a number of headlines we've got here. We've got plenty more, too. Of course, you can find out all of that on our website, kywnewsradio.com. And that brings us to the focus of today's episode. We're back in theaters. The Wilma Theater opened up last week, and we've got a couple of people who really enjoy the theater here sitting in here with us. Christina, I know you've been getting back out to some of the shows and concerts. What have you seen recently?
Yeah, so I missed live anything really, really badly. I was like watching old YouTube clips throughout the pandemic of like Broadway shows. It was getting pretty bleak. But I went to a Big Thief concert last week at Union Transfer. That was great. I remembered how difficult it was being 5'4" on when it's only like, oh, all of you are 6 and above, and I am just going to listen to the music and be happy. But
sorry,
no, it's okay. It's part of the perils of being short. And then I scored a last minute ticket to John Mulaney just last Friday, which was excellent. The line was around the block. They put our phones away, which was actually a really nice thing so that we could just focus in the moment. And nobody knew what time it was just the crazy thing. Everyone was like, wait, what time is it? Because no one had their smartwatches, no one had their phones, and no one wears analog watches anymore, apparently. So we were all just kind of in this little time warp, you know, fully masked, watching John Mulaney be absolutely hilarious. And I am now on the like listserv so that I can get all the emails about what's coming up, because I just missed it so much. And it felt really good. It just felt normal, dare I say. So, you know, it was really, really great. So, you know, and I will say, I'm going to plug it, but we do have a new newsletter on the website called The Weekend John that is all about all the events and things that are coming up. And not just events, but like, if you just want to sit at home and watch TV, we have something for you there too. So if you want to sign up, you can go to our website to do that. But yeah, it was really, really good.
It's like you didn't realize what you had till it was gone. Like the whether you go Joni Mitchell or Janet Jackson, you don't know what you've got till it's gone, basically. For Sabrina, there's a little bit of a different part of this. You yourself are a performer. So not only is it just for you seeing audiences come back, you're someone who's been on the stage as well.
It's been incredible bringing theater back. I do a lot of work with the Players Club of Swarthmore. It's a community theater down in Delaware County. We're doing Murder on the Nile coming up in a little bit for Halloween. The first show that came back there was actually, it was a play called Detroit. They were scheduled to open the weekend of like March 13th, 2020, straight up right when everything shut down. And so their set had been on that stage for 18 months. These actors were performance ready, and then they just couldn't do it. So to see, I went to the opening of that show to see that come back, and to see them finally perform this in front of an audience just was so heartwarming and exciting. I was excited for them. I was excited for myself to get to perform later. This is what I love the most, I guess second most next to chatting with you all and making these podcasts. But it just like enlivens me so much. And I feel like I'm a whole human again, being able to go to theater and see theater and be in theater.
Can I ask you guys a question? I have this reputation for being wet blanket guy. Were you fully comfortable when you went back to some of these events in person, whether it was you, Luca, at the theater, Sabrina, you performing, Jay, I know you were just out at Michigan State for a football game. I went to a couple concerts in August. One was with like 35,000 people, one more recently at the Met. And I'll be honest, for the one at the Met, which is obviously indoors around 3,500 people, it took me about a good hour to kind of feel at ease and comfortable in my surroundings. I was masked. Vaccination proof was required or a negative test. That did not make me feel any better. But it took me a good hour, hour and a half, pretty much halfway through the show, to feel at ease or at peace with the decision I made to go. Now I'm going to go to more concerts that I want to see. It's not going to hold me back moving forward. But for me, I couldn't fully divorce from the reality that we now live in.
And that brings us to John McDevitt, who was out at the reopening of the Wilma Theater and the Kimmel Center, where the Philadelphia Orchestra had their season premiere last week. Here's what some of that sounded like from his first-person account out at the Wilma Theater.
So the Philadelphia Orchestra opened up its 122nd season, and it featured Yo-Yo Ma, which was a big draw. People were very excited to attend. They were dressed to the nines. They were in sparkly gowns and very well-dressed.
Fantastic to dress up again to see our friends and colleagues.
Susan Aldridge, she was a subscriber.
To see Yannick and the orchestra, it's so exciting to start a new year.
I'm Sibby Brasler. The clothes have been hanging in the closet for years, just waiting for these kinds of occasions, and so it's very special.
They were just very celebratory and happy to be there. They were applauding, pun intended, the digital platform and programming that the orchestra provided during the shutdown.
It saved us, and the fact that these programs were viewed all over the world brought new members of the audience to the orchestra, and the fact that they could go into schools and students could see the orchestra performing, see the instruments being played close up. There's nothing like that anywhere else, and the Philadelphia Orchestra did that for the world. I'm so proud of them.
But extremely excited to be back again, you know, just being out, you know, people and people just saying over and over again, they didn't mind showing their vaccine cards. In fact, they felt way more comfortable.
So everyone has to show proof of vaccination. Everyone has to wear masks all evening. We're absolutely fine with that. If that's the condition to be able to launch the new season of the orchestra, we're happy.
It's worth it to hear the music live. There is nothing like it, hearing that music live.
I spoke with Mateusz Tarnopolski. He's the president and CEO of the Philadelphia Orchestra. He was running down the safety protocols and the hard work that everyone put into play here.
The layers of protection are significant, beginning with every audience member needing to be vaccinated to attend, then every audience member wearing a mask, then also no intermission concerts, so there's less of a chance to mingle. That's a very important point too. And then the air exchange in the venue is, you know, constant and rapid.
Adrienne Simpson, she's a board member. She was in a beautiful gown with a matching mask. She said a lot of the subscribers are elderly, and they worked very hard. They, meaning the orchestra, worked very hard to get to this point.
Many of the concert goers that come here, you know, every season, they were the most vulnerable group when it came to the pandemic. So for them to be returning to the Kimmel Center, to be coming back to concerts, it really speaks to all the work we've done to make sure that our concerts are safe. You know, our job is to entertain you and to really bring this richness to your life, but to make sure you go home with nothing but, you know, the feeling of the love of music in your heart. So yeah, our concert goers are coming back of all ages and seniors included, and we're so happy to welcome them here.
In the beginning of the Philadelphia Orchestra, they didn't even play yet, and there was an announcement welcoming everyone back again to the live performance of the Philadelphia Orchestra, and there was a standing ovation even before the orchestra played. Just people, you could see how they're clapping and cheering and celebrating, you know, being out again and watching a live performance. The Wilma Theater, they held their premiere, regional premiere of a play called Minor Character. It's described as a joyful, music-filled, comedic kaleidoscope. And apparently the actors, the performers, take on multiple characters. And I heard that they speak at the same time, and it somehow taking a look at love, longing, and limitations of language. It's running now through the 24th, October 24th. Lee Goldenberg is the managing director over at the Wilma. She was running through the requirements.
So here's where we check vaccine. We talked about that. You can have your vaccine card or a photograph or a photocopy, and we're just pairing that with ID to make sure that's you. And then you get this very bold and beautiful hand stamp, so that once you go to the theater itself, our front of house team there knows that you have been checked. All of our tickets are digital, so those will be scanned when people enter. We also have digital programs, so we're trying to cut down on touch points. And then when you get into the theater, we have parties distance from each other. So typically we have 300 seats in the house. We're only selling up to 150 tickets per performance.
The Kimmel had people in the regular seats. There were no seats in between people. They're pretty much packed in there. But over at the Wilma, they had people spread out.
Not everybody's doing that, but we felt like we wanted to have an extra level of safety. We've been so eager to get back in person that we want to keep it that way. And, you know, also hearing from our audiences, what will make them feel more comfortable.
They're all being done differently. And you kind of just have to check with the independent theater company to see what is required when going to the show. And then she also said that behind the scenes, what you don't see, there are protocols for the actors, the staff members, the employees there.
We have a vaccine requirement for our cast, crew, and staff, so anyone who's working here in the building. In partnership with our actors union, we have a safety protocol, so everyone has their own dressing room. We've limited the number of folks that can be in the green room. And we are doing weekly testing for anyone in that production group. So we've been tested throughout the rehearsal process and will continue in the performance process.
It's like, it's interesting how people are ebbing and flowing and trying to, you know, more or less figure this out. And how do you get people in their seats in time for the curtain to go up, kind of a thing?
We keep saying over this past year and a half in creating work, our first goal was to make sure we could do so safely and keep everybody safe.
Yeah.
And then second, to make work that we're really proud of. And we've accomplished those things. And I'm extremely proud and frankly giddy about the production. And so if we can, you know, keep this rolling and have folks come in and be part of that theatrical magic with us, it'll feel really good.
That's what it's all about. And I'm kind of surprised, actually, because we've been in this for so long. You know, again, I'll use that roller coaster up and down, you know, all around. You know, there were restrictions, they were lifted, then restrictions again. It's almost like I'm hoping this will last. You know, Delta, go away. You know, they say we're turning the corner. Hopefully this will be the beginning of normalcy, and it will last and continue, and we can live our lives again.
How did you feel after going to all of these things? Are you a regular theater goer in normal times? And, you know, what did you kind of take away from the night?
I kind of go with the flow. I wouldn't call myself like a theater nerd by any way. And I say that kindly. I really don't like ensembles and, you know, I get bored with them.
But it's hurting my heart, John.
Sorry, but I appreciate
my
it.
My poor little theater heart.
No. But I, Sabrina, I absolutely respect you and respect the arts wholeheartedly. You know, it's exciting. I do like it. I do like going out, but I wouldn't say like I'm passionate, but what I am passionate about is people and just people being out again and you know, able to do what we're, you know, born to do, be social, you know, and it's just, it's great to see that.
So that's KYW News Radio's John McDevitt. He was out last week at the Wilma Theater's regional opening of Minor Character. It's by the Philadelphia Orchestra at the Kemmel Center. Hearing that, it's just so interesting where it does feel like people are kind of slowly getting this back, slowly coming back.
I think that's the thing, is kind of still starting to get back or easing into it. The managing director at the Wilma Theater had also mentioned that it was sort of incremental because they did things that were completely virtual over Zoom. They then did things where they filmed it in one room, but they broadcast it. Now they're bringing it all back. Brian asked about my comfort level, our comfort levels earlier, and I think I eased into it too. I started going to outdoor shows a bit earlier in the year. These shows that I've gone to and been in are by no means packed, so I don't know how I would feel at, say, the Philadelphia Orchestra shoulder to shoulder with strangers, but people are slowly starting to come back. Those seats are filling and will eventually get to the point where people are comfortable in a full house again. And you know, it doesn't matter to me if there are five people in the audience. When I'm on stage, I'm just enjoying it and enjoying sharing this with people. When I'm in the audience, same thing, really. It's just this being in the same place and having a shared experience live and in person.
First of all, shout out Sabrina and John McDevitt. Great job on putting that together. Very cool.
Thank you.
I just loved hearing the voices of the people, how authentic it was, their enthusiasm, their excitement, like we talked about at the top. I'm really hopeful, and this applies to a lot of areas of life, not just the arts, that certain things that people tripped upon or innovations or new ways of doing things doesn't go away when all the things that we loved pre-pandemic come back. It just makes you feel that much more closely connected to some of the things that you love.
Luca, how about you?
Yeah, I, Brian, you said it perfectly. I think as a connoisseur of all things digital, the one thing about the pandemic that I did enjoy was that, the one thing that I did think was interesting about how we adapted was that we were able to reach and like celebrities, musicians were able to reach a much wider breadth of fans through a screen. I think we learned a lot of ways that we can communicate through the internet in a really positive and interesting way that we shouldn't forget about just because we can have our butts in seats again. You know, both of those, like, it's like a yes and. Both of those things can be true and should be true.
That accessibility, and when you mentioned the price point too, I think is really important. I thought it was amazing when Hamilton did their recorded release on Disney Plus. And yeah. I've heard some people be nervous about, well, if we do these digital releases, will people still come to the theater? Or like, how we're going to be making less money. First of all, you're going to get more people getting those digital tickets. Second of all, people are not going to stop going to the theater.
Never.
There will always be enough people out there who will pay the $100 for a ticket to go see it in person. So why not just make it accessible to more people?
It's the same thing with movies. It's the same things with sporting events. Mm-hmm. People are going to put that money down to go to a movie, go to a football game, basketball game, baseball game, whatever it is, and actually be there for the experience. The experience of being around people is mm-hmm. what draws people in. It's totally. Not just that. In this case, we're seeing it with the return to the stage and the return of fans to shows. I want to thank you guys for coming in here and doing this with us today, especially Luca, obviously. Thank you so much. Where can people see what you're doing around here, as we always ask?
Me personally?
Yes.
Or
both you and the work, of course, you're doing with KYW News Radio.
Well, KYW News Radio, you can hit us up on, we are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So you can find us there at KYW News Radio. But personally, my handle is at Christina Luca on Twitter. That is where I spend the majority of my time. If you look at my timeline, I am extremely online. But yeah, that's where you can find me. And mostly it will be pictures of my dog. So I hope you like dogs.
Who doesn't like dogs?
Also being a Virgo. That's the only thing I tweet about.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that at all. That's a wonderful thing to be able to be a Virgo around.
Slightly
here.
Biased, but
just a little biased. It's two Virgos on the microphones today. I'm J. Scott Smith, thanking you for checking out this edition of The Rundown, which is a production of KYW Original Podcast. The show is produced, of course, by the world's greatest tag team, Sabrina Boyd-Circa and Brian Seltzer. The director of podcasting for KYW News Radio is Tom Rickard. Once again, I'm J. Scott Smith. You can follow me on Twitter at J. Scott Smith. It's Real J. Scott Smith on Instagram and on Facebook. And, of course, you can hear me every single day starting at 3 o'clock on KYW News Radio, 103.9 FM, 1060 AM, and, of course, on the Odyssey app for Philadelphia's afternoon news. Be sure to follow The Rundown, of course, on Twitter at The Rundown PHL. You can listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. So for Sabrina Boyd-Circa, Brian Seltzer, Christina Coppicer, better known as Luca, and our friend John McDevitt, I'm J. Scott Smith, thanking you for checking out this Tuesday edition of The Rundown.